In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, today's Mass is being offered for the blessed repose of the soul of Mary Dale Apodaca and Richard Barnes, the repose of those souls. Just want to remind you that today at 5:15 p.m. here within our church, we'll be having the Stations of the Cross. We'll also have Stations of the Cross in Puerto de Luna today at 5:30, followed by, if you just want to get another Mass in today, you can go down to PDL, and one of the priests has already arrived, who will be celebrating the Solemn High Traditional Latin Mass, Father Christopher Martinez from Roy, New Mexico. He'll be there, and you're welcome to join us for that and for the meal that will be taking place afterwards, a good Lenten meal. Today, in our readings, it's all about God's justice, and about the way that men think, and about the way that God thinks, and how the two don't meet up exactly as we would like to for our advantage to keep on sinning. That God is always pulling us away from that and reminding us of the reality of sin. An important passage here from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 18. The idea that was going on at the time was saying, hey, look, why is it that you, this is the idea of the Jews, why is it that you allow somebody, why you're saying that if somebody in the last minute turns their life to God, even though they've lived a whole terrible life toward him, why is it that they are ones who are going to be saved? How is that just? That for an instant of faith, for a short period of faith within their life, how does that merit them presence with God? What about all that evil that they've done in the world, all the harm that they've created in my life and so many others, those who have attacked us, how could they be saved? Then he hits on the other side. And then Ezekiel says, you say that God's ways are not true. Well, what about your own ways? And you say that it is not right that he would do that. But then you say, well, what about the person who has lived their entire life following God and his laws, but then at the end turns away from God? Should he not then be saved? Because more of his life adds up to good than at the end, even though he ended really badly. But Ezekiel says the same thing. God's ways are not that way. It's where you end in life, not where you and I began life in. It is very true that a person could spend the entirety of their life, the lives of the saints, the teachings of the hermits, the desert fathers, they speak about these all the time, where somebody lives their life totally well before God, but in those last moments turn totally against God, give into an instance of mortal sin in lust, or whatever it is that grave vice is that does break their relationship between them and God, and for that they are justly damned for all eternity, for they turned away from God in those moments. And so that's why us as Catholics, when we look before our lives, we don't say like the Protestants do, say, I'm sure that I'm going to heaven. We don't say that, because we know the reality of the teachings, the reality of who God is, that I hope to be saved, that I'm striving for salvation right now, that I'm trying to do the best that I can right now, but I know that at any moment that I could decide to go against God. And so I strive. I strive all the more. I turn to God. I beg on my knees for mercy. I recognize the trials and the difficulties that go on in this life. And I say, Lord, please just grant me the grace of final perseverance. Every time you and I pick up the might of that rosary, which we pray each and every day when we finger those beads, the second half of that prayer is what, pray for me now because I need something greatly now, Mama Mary. But especially at the moment of my death. Garner for me the grace of final perseverance, that even should I fall into grave sin in some sort of last moment in my life, or I be taken in a sudden moment in an unprepared way, garner me a grace at that particular moment so that I may fully turn my life back to God and have the grace of a perfect act of contrition. What does it mean to be reconciled to God in that way, reconciled in a way that really saves? I want to share with you something that I was speaking about in essence with my cousins last night. They're basically aunts to me, but they're technically cousins. And as I was at table with them, they were speaking about what it means to be reconciled in a way, particularly in struggling with some Protestant errors, people that they struggle with in their lives or in their extended families. And this is something from a philosopher by the name of Rhonda Shervin, who was a convert from Judaism and a philosophy and theology teacher, written many, many works. She writes about this. She says, when human love has been betrayed, it is not enough just to feel contrite. One must also say, so to say, promise to change their lives. And then they receive the forgiveness of another person. It is interesting to note that most psychologists agree on how dangerous it is to mental health to bottle up all of our guilt, and how unloving a relationship becomes when it lacks an openness. In a similar way, one who has acted contrary to the bond of love with Christ longs to tell him so, and so to reaffirm his love and to be forgiven. The contrition should be as loud and as concrete as the unliving deed was. which is why we so often talk about, and there was this discussion within our Catholic community over the past year in a strong way about what to do about a Catholic politician who publicly supports those things which are contrary to God. Should they be admitted to communion? What do they need to do? Well, the obvious teaching of the Church has always been that before returning to communion anyway, when you have a grave public sin that is well known, you have to, in the same way, just as gravely and just as publicly, turn back from that sin before you can be restored unto full communion with the Church, meaning also receiving Holy Communion. Continuing on. Says this, if in human love forgiveness is followed by the embrace of reconciliation, how is this to be duplicated in relationship to Christ, who is not physically present to us? It must be by a virtue of some spiritual presence which is yet concrete enough to serve as man's need to fulfill the vivid moment. We cannot show that the sacrament of penance is the only way that Christ could have accomplished this result, but perhaps analysis may help us to understand it as an invention of love by considering the words of Christ said to his disciples, as he says in the scriptures, whose sins you forgive, they are indeed forgiven, end quotation. The priest, then, serves not as a particular man, certainly not a mere busybody or even a psychologist of the spirit, but as the visible representative of Christ's forgiving love. This sacrament concretely applies to the redemption Christ enacted for those sins which negate and sometimes even destroy the bond of love between the soul and God. And so it is. That's what, even on our human natural level, is demanded of us. The fact that we not just say some words of contrition, but that it actually comes out with a change of our life, that it has to be something spoken aloud, that it has to be received in such a way. And so God has given us the great grace in the sacrament of penance to achieve all those things. To have God in his spiritual presence enacted within a particular person in the priest, so that when we confess our sins in that way, that we hear in a, even in a human way, that we are forgiven, so that we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God has entirely changed the state of our soul in this way. The great grace of confession that God has given us. That's why we desire that deep and profound sense of reconciliation. Not just something that goes on in the mind and we can doubt there afterwards, but hearing it from the very words of God's representative in the priest to know that it is over and done with for all eternity. The great grace that God has granted you and I as Catholics. Make sure you frequently receive that grace, for you and I well know that it's not how we begin life that really matters. And for some of that us, that's a great grace. But rather, it is how you and I truly end our lives that makes the decision for all things. Stay with it on your knees, stay humble, and stay reconciled to God, and trust in his mercy, which is ever present to those who reach out and grab for it from him who generously gives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.